Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. You need to have a revelation of what we talked about last night in order for this to really have the impact that it could have. I believe it's still obviously going to have impact because the Word of God is powerful and it stands alone. Obviously, God didn't need me to have a two-part series in order for Him to be strong. But I do believe that that these two things coincide. This is something that's been on my heart for a while, and so I think this is going to be a really actionable way for you to hear what needs to be ministered here. So in Ephesians chapter 3, please go there with me. We're going to start at the beginning. We're going to read this whole chapter. You're going to get full of the Word tonight. I got a lot of Word, which means I'm going to have to minimize the commentary. Thank God we're in a church that's unoffendable. Amen? Amen. Everybody unoffendable in here? You're led by a pastor who's unoffendable as well? For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, let me tell you one of the most important truths that I ever learned in my entire life as a Christian. At 19 years old, I listened to a tape series called The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth E. Hagin. And one of the truths that I learned in there that I activated right off the bat in my life as a spirit-filled, destiny-seeking, passionate about God, very young man, he taught how important it was to put you in the Scriptures, to put the Scriptures in you and to put you in the Scriptures. He went through these two prayers by Paul, and he put himself in the prayers, and he prayed for himself that he would get revelation knowledge, that he would understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, the love of God. And when you put your name in the Scriptures, it brings it from this book, you know, written, 2,000 years ago to a group of people that you have no idea who they are, what was going on in their life, and it puts you there. And it takes it from this place of history to this place of action in your life. And then it becomes real, it becomes part of who you are, because that's really honestly what these books, I can show you in nearly every book of the New Testament how it was written to the church. And if you're born again today, if you've been born again, you're in the church. So that means that this is all written to you. And the Gospels themselves were written by people of the church. So they were obviously written to the church as well. So everything in the New Testament was written to you. This entire Word of God was written to you. I would strongly encourage you to put yourself in the Word. When you read it, don't just say, "For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." I'm going to change this, and I'm going to make this so that it's actionable for you and I. And I'm not messing with the Scriptures. I'm not blaspheming. God actually wants us to do this. He doesn't want this to be about how great Paul was. He wants this to be about how great he is, and he wants to be great in you. So, for this cause, I, Steve Castle, pastor of Beloved Church, I am a prisoner. Praise God. Best prison I've ever been in my life. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know what a prisoner means? You're locked up and you can't get out. Amen. I can't get out. I'm in Jesus and I can't get out. I can't even break through. Even if I try to break out, I can't get out. Don't you know God's got good prisons? This is a great place to be. Even if I try to escape, Jesus won't let me. Amen. That's a blessing. All right, it's blessing me more than you, so I'll just move on. For this cause, I, Steve Castle, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, beloved church. Gentiles is just a word that means non-Jew. So if you're a non-Jew, or if you are a Jew, I can show you how even the Jews were not meant to be Jews by blood. They were meant to be Jews by faith. But anyway, let's just say it this way. I, Steve Castle, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and I'm a prisoner of him for you, beloved church. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. The reason I'm a prisoner in Jesus for you is because God has put a specific grace in my life. He's dispensed, he's released a specific grace in me for you. In me for you. What this means is, the Joe average person could walk up to me on the street and say, hey, aren't you a pastor? And I could say, yeah. Say, give me a word about my life. And I could flow in the gifts of the Spirit. I could hear the Holy Spirit. I could do. But if somebody in Beloved Church walks up to me and says, hey, give me some understanding. Give me some truth. Give me some direction about this. I am confident that there's a grace of God in me for you. Because God has called you to me. And God has called me to you. There's a dispensation that's in me. And it's specifically you word. I love that. It's you toward. It's toward you. There's a dispensation in me toward you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So that means that there is a reason. Now, I remember, if you don't remember last week's message was the birth of Beloved. I gave you the deep revelation that God gave me about where the Beloved Church came from, what birthed it, what revelation, it came out of revelation, what revelation God gave to me that was once a mystery to me, and I dare say was a mystery to other people too, because some people still to this day, they raise up Mary to a place of nearly deity. And that's not what it's supposed to be. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are highly favored in the exact same way that Mary was highly favored by God when she was chosen to be the carrier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been chosen to be the carrier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same grace. You have the same favor on your life that Mary did. And therefore, the birth of Beloved came out of that. And then I came and birthed the Beloved Church of which you are a part of. And so you are a part of a mystery that has become a revelation in my life, and I believe it's becoming a revelation in your life. You're having it revealed to you that you have this, you're carrying this in your spiritual womb. And this, he said that he wrote to them afore a few words. He's talking about the book of Galatians. The book of Ephesians was one of Paul's, we call this like a circuit letter. Ephesians and Colossians are kind of like a circuit letter. He wrote them specifically to somebody, but he wanted those churches to share them with all the other churches around it. So the book of Corinthians meant to go just to Corinthians because he dealt with issues and things going on just in Corinth. But the book of Ephesians and Colossians was written in kind of a circuit letter, kind of like a partner letter kind of a situation. It could go to everybody that was a part of Paul's life. And so he was talking about the letter that he wrote afore was the book of Galatians. Galatians was the second book written in the entire New Testament. That includes the Gospels. The book of Galatians was written before any of the Gospels. It was the second written book, and it was written by Paul. Now think about that. Paul, the apostle, who came along way after 10, 15 years after the birth of the church, was the second person to write a letter to the church. That's a big deal. So, he said he wrote to them about this mystery. I can't synopsize the book of Galatians for you in just like a real quick sentence. Here's what I'm saying. Go read it. Go read it. It'll take you about a half hour, maybe 40 minutes if you're slow. If you're really, really into it, it'll take you 10 or 12 days. But he said that I wrote to you a letter of four in a few words. Here's something that's funny too. wrote a letter in a few words. It was six chapters, and it takes you about a half hour to read it. So he says a few words is a half hour sermon. That's a few words. Amen. Okay, anyway, moving right along. I wrote a four to you in a few words. In other words, what he's saying is you need to make sure that you remember the mystery that I've already revealed to you in order for me to go on from there. Or God builds on things that he's built on. Does that make sense? If there are times that people have said, man, you preached in a thing and you had this going on and this going on and this going on. You know, something I've been saying lately, it's like drinking from a fire hose. And I get that, but then there's other people that are like, man, pour it on me. I got a big mouth and I got a big gut. Give me all you got. And so here's what I'm going to say. The spirit part of who you are is getting it all. The spirit part of who you are is getting it all. Get the CD. Because your head don't get it. I'm going to say a bunch of stuff tonight, and I know that it could do some flyovers on you, but I want you to get it. And I don't want to hold back from this because I know that the Holy Spirit really has laid this on me. And so I'm going to put this out there. But get the CD. Get last week's CD and get this week's CD. They're almost like a part one and two. And put them together and listen to the birth and then listen to this. And they're going to go together and they're going to paint a beautiful picture. And listen to them over and over and over. I got CDs in my Jeep right now there's messages. Just the other day I was mowing the lawn. And the message that I was listening to while I was mowing the lawn, I'm probably on the 30th time listening to that message. I paused it. While I was on the lawnmower, I stopped. I got my phone out. I rewound it, or scrubbed it, whatever you call it on your phone. I rewound, went back, and listened to it. Listened to it, and then rewound it, and went back and listened to it. And then rewound it, and went back. I could assume that somebody driving by in the car is probably thinking, what is that guy doing on his phone? He's texting and driving, you know, on the lawnmower. But I wasn't. I needed to get it. He said something that I didn't get. I got it, but I didn't get it, and I needed to get it because this wasn't enough for me. And then I got it, and I was like, praise God, and I was praising God on my lawnmower. Praise God. And I got it. You need to get it. And I'm not saying I'm some kind of, you know, super spiritual giant that, you know, my words are that deep, but I really believe that there's a grace of God that's in me to you word. That means that my words are not only my words, that they are his words. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says that when you speak with the oracles of God. And so right now I cut off Steve Castle in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that every word that comes out of my mouth now is coming from you, from your Holy Spirit, and it's going into the deep places of who we are, and it's going to break off chains, it's going to break off lies, it's going to break off bad doctrines, break off traditions, and it's going to make life, and it's going to make prosperity in people's souls and hearts. It's going to bring power and revelation and health into people's lives. You said that in your word, that my words are health unto those that find them, and medicine for all their bones. You didn't say it was like medicine. You said it was medicine. And so right now I'm releasing your word that is medicine into people's lives in Jesus' name. We're speaking with the oracles of God. This is the oracles of God. Please get this. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You should be able, if you have a revelation of God, you should be able to get it to other folk. There is nothing that God gives you that is just for you. This is one of the reasons that you'll never hear about Beloved Church ever selling any CDs, ever selling any messages, ever selling any DVDs. We're never going to sell this stuff because I don't own it. It doesn't belong to me. I don't care if I'm the first one to ever get this revelation on planet Earth. It's not my revelation, it's his. How dare me try to charge somebody for it? I get it that there's calls to duplication, all that kind of stuff. I got all that. But this is not, God has given me graces and given me revelation to get to his people. That means get it. That means you get it. When you're sitting there, you have a participatory part of what's going on here. This is so important. If you just sit there and you're waiting for me to hammer through you to get it into you, you'll never get it. I'm not a hammer. Amen. You have to reach out. Grace gives, faith takes. Grace gives, faith takes. I'm given grace. You got to take it. You got to participate. You got to be ready. Lord, I'm going tonight, and you're going to give me something that's going to change my life. And you're going to get it. I promise you. I promise you you'll get it. I promise you. Amen. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There's a new and living way that you and I live in. That things that folks before didn't get to understand, we get to understand them. You know how much trust God has in you to do that? That's a big deal. That's a real big deal. God has a lot of trust in you. You should guard those revelations. You should give them the same honor and the same value that he let 4,000 years of people not know what you know. Because they couldn't handle it. Without the Spirit of God, without the self-control and the ability that the infilling of the Spirit of God could bring into a person, they couldn't handle those truths. And sometimes we take them and we just go by them. We fall asleep on them. We don't even activate them in our lives. Beloved, this ought not so to be. We should value this. The psalmist said, an unspirit-filled psalmist said that your words are better than gold. They're better than rubies. They're sweeter than the honeycomb. An unspirit-filled, unmystery-knowing psalmist said that. How much more should we take the revealed mysteries of God, the revelations, the deep revelations that 4,000 years of human history never had the right to understand. You now have the right to understand. You can get them right here, right now. You can get them 3 times a week at Beloved Church. And we should have that much honor and that much value for what the Lord is doing in His Word, in this revelation, in our lives. And not allow it to just be old or just be musty in any way. Amen? Amen. Stir yourselves up. Stir yourselves up. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles, that the beloved church, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is one of the basic points that was made in Genesis, or in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, it said that the promises of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. The promises of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That Abraham was justified by faith, and the promises that God made to Abraham was meant to go to those who would understand justification by faith. The just shall live by faith, it says in Galatians, it says in Romans, and it says it in Habakkuk. That this is one of the main purposes of the book of Galatians was to get folks to know that you're not going to get this because you're a Jew. You're going to get this because of faith in the promise. The promises of God are going to activate in your life by faith, not by blood, not by being in the cool place, not by having awesome parents, not by anything of that sort. These promises are going to activate in your life because you believe in them and you're going to be justified by that faith. And it also talks about the curse of the law being destroyed. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the good news, the gospel, whereof I, Steve Castle, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It's the grace of God that he activated in me. God uses people. God partners with people. God flows through people. God is a partnership God. God comes together with people to accomplish what he needs to do. God is the head. It's just like, how many generals are you going to see on the front line with an M16? Well, none. Of course not. They're going to be somewhere in a planning place overlooking the entire war, and they're going to pass down that information. The person out there actually activating the promise that the generals are making may never see the general, may never know the general, may not even know the general's name. This is, the Father has given us the right to know him, to be intimate with him, and he's the general, and he's given us, he's whispering us the directions and the plans that he has for us. But understand that He is working through us. He's partnering through us. He's flowing through us. He's not doing this without us. Let me say it that way. He won't. Can He? Of course, He can do anything, but He won't. He has promised that He's going to release things in the Spirit. God is the Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And He's going to flow through natural human people with spirit and divine influence. This is He chose. And so the grace of God in my life and the grace of God that I'm activating in your life is how God wants to effectively work together with His power. Praise God. That's a good truth. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Amen. Your pastor is the less and the least of all pastors. Is this grace given? This is why I don't care. It doesn't bother me to say that I'm the least of all pastors, because Paul said that when I'm weak, in His grace, then I'm strong. So the least of all the pastors. I would love to be the least of all the pastors, because that means that it has nothing to do with Steve Castle. It has everything to do with the grace of God that's in me. Amen. I was a total failure in nearly everything in my life. And so me being successful in this needs to understand that the only way that's possible is because it's by grace. It's by grace. It's the only way it's working. Praise God. What a promise. Unto me who is less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the beloved church the unsearchable riches of Christ. I am going to proclaim. The word preach means proclaim, declare. The unsearchable riches of Jesus. You know what that means? Search. If they're unsearchable, search. You have yet to exhaust all that God wants to do for you, in you, with you, and in your future. You'll never tap it. You'll never end it. You'll never get to the bottom of the barrel. Why did the widow woman run out of oil in Elijah's ministry? Because she ran out of vessels. It wasn't because the oil ran out. It's because she ran out of vessels. Don't run out of pots. Amen. It's a good truth. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, koinonia, of this mystery, from which the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to really pay attention to 10. This is powerful. To the intent, this is the purpose, that now unto the principalities and powers. The word principalities is arche, A-R-C-H-E, like an archangel. It's talking about the top of all angels. And so to the top of all the influence that's on this earth, and the word power is exousia. Exousia means all authority, not power as in muscle, power as in authority. So to the top of all influence on this earth and to all authority in heavenly places might be known by who? By the church, by beloved church. It might be known by beloved church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me read this in the Living Bible. God's purposes in all this was to use the church, was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Man, that is powerful. Let me say that again. Get this. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church, beloved church, to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. If that don't light your wood on fire, your wood's wet. This is really, here's the thing. God has chosen the church. You know why God attacks, you know why the enemy attacks the church? You know the devil don't care that you're a Christian? He's already lost that. Are you following me? What he cares about is you getting connected to a group of people and specifically and on purpose build the kingdom. He don't care. Listen, the Tower of, what happened to the Tower of Babel? They all came together. Everybody on earth, and they were going to do something together. They were going to build something, and God said, whoa, they can do anything they set their mind to. And they really could. They could build this tower all the way to the heavens. God said, we can't do this. This is going to wreck the system because it's not supposed to be something where man builds to get to God. It's supposed to be God building to get to man. That's why the Tower of Babel was a type and shadow. It wasn't because he was mad that they were building a skyscraper. And so the power of what was going on there, that synergy, that unity that was taking place there, the devil has figured that out right from the very beginning, that if he can utilize this and put it to his advantage, then he can destroy what God's trying to build. Why do you think the enemy hasn't attacked the kingdom of God? Beloved church, the church. He don't care that you're a Christian. What he cares is that you're connected together in a perfect union and you're building together. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Of his kingdom and of his government, there shall be no end. The enemy doesn't care that you're a Christian. He lost that. Look, it's done. It's over with. So now the only thing that he wants to do in your life is stop you from building the kingdom. You build the kingdom, he loses more. You don't build the kingdom. You're a Christian and you get offended. You know you're as valuable to him as an offended Christian as the average person who's not a Christian. And even somewhat more so, because an offended Christian that's not part of church, follow me on this, an offended Christian that's not on church will most likely spew their offense into other people who will leave a church. You will never see one person ever leave a church. They always leave in groups. Always leave in groups. Because when they're offended, they're going to make sure that other people know about their offenses and they're going to pull them all together. This is important that you get this. This is how the enemy works. Praise God. This is really powerful stuff. I want to read that one more time. I just think this is really good. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're drilling this down. God's purpose in all this, the grace of God being released, God's glory being revealed, the mystery, think about that, the mystery of the kingdom being revealed. After 4,000 years of people not understanding it, he did all of this, Jesus Christ going to the cross, the finished work of the cross, all of this, the gospel, because he referenced the gospel two verses before this, all of this was done for this purpose. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Man, that is so powerful. Which means that if we're not manifesting the grace of God, if we're not manifesting God's purposes, God's glory, God's manifold wisdom, if we're not manifesting that, then no wonder the enemy and the authority that's in the heavenly places is going to wreak havoc in our region. You know, we have a medical marijuana plant in Stevenson County. Amen. We do. You probably didn't know that because they did it all under the hook. I just went to a Stevenson County board meeting and I fought against a person getting a liquor license in Alfoki. Alfoki. What is there? 100 people there? That's what they need? A liquor license? And he didn't want just a liquor license. He wanted a liquor and gaming license. He wants a casino in Alfoki. Alfoki. I went and fought it. Praise God. We're winning. But the point is that there is something going on in our region that if we don't project the manifold wisdom of God, if we don't put the glory of God out there, you know the principalities and powers are going to say, man, we can do anything we want to in Stevenson County. The church can't get together. People can't get together. All they do, you know, they got people that leave a church, go to a church, leave a church, go to a church, leave a church, go to a church. They can't build nothing. There's no glory whatsoever in anybody's life. Well, they're wrapped up in traditions. It's just all about what they can do traditionally. I mean, I was at a church and they had it wrote on the wall to keep the traditions alive in the church today. That was one of their main purposes. That was one of their missions, to keep the traditions alive. And then Dennis makes us all, you know, tricks us into saying, die traditions. Amen. not tricks us, but through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, he made the manifold wisdom of God show up, and you said it. I want you to get this. God's tool in this earth for his power and his glory to be revealed is you, together with us and me. Amen. If there's no other way. There's no Lone Rangers. There's no construction companies of one. The kingdom of God is built as a group, as a team, building it together. The name of tonight's sermon is Erector Set. Erector Set. Those of you, if you're my age or older, you know what I'm talking about with an erector set. And we're going to get there. So stay with me. That was just a hook. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers to the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus had an eternal purpose. The eternal purpose. Eternal means perpetual. And the word purpose is prothesis. Pro means first or foremost, and thesis means a long essay or a dissertation. A long essay or dissertation. That's the Word of God. This entire Word of God together is pro-God's plan, and it's a long dissertation about who God is and what His plan is. Why do you think this is probably not a prevalent part of the church today? Give me a cool sermon, keep it short, make sure there's lots of illustrations, pictures, videos, keep the lights up and down, super jumpy music. Now, you know, one or two scriptures, totally cool, but Steve's going to read a chapter. Are you kidding me? We're going to read a chapter. Yeah, we're going to read a chapter. In fact, we're going to read way more than that. Because this is the eternal purpose of God. You will never know God's will without God's Word. Zero. Period. I can't say that any clearer. You will never know God's will without God's Word. You will never know. And somebody else can tell you. It's God's will for you to be sick. If you don't know this, you will be sick. I'm telling you. You will never know God's will without God's Word. And God's eternal purpose has been written in a dissertation form right here. His eternal purposes are written right here. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Do you hear how powerful God's language is right here? In whom, in Jesus, we have boldness and we have access and we have confidence by faith. Now, you know, to find, it's 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 Christians that has this mentality towards the kingdom. Boldness, confidence, access. If you walked up to the average person, hey, how you doing? Are you accessing the things of God? Nope. Well, are you bold about what God wants you to be bold about? Oh, no, I don't want to be, you know, too high and mighty. Well, are you confident that God's going to do amazing things in your life? Well, I hope so. For real. That's not this language. This language is yes and amen. All His promises are yes and amen. By His stripes I am healed. That He Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases on the cross. That my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. I'm bold about it. I'm courageous about it. Well, you better not just be too arrogant about what God's going to do. You better just back it on down there. Who do you think you are telling God what to do? I'm not telling Him what to do. He told me what to do. Profess His promises. Those are His promises. I'm going to be bold about it. He's given me the access, and I'm going to have confidence through faith. Amen. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Those of you that love me deeply, that are seriously and intimately connected with me, I'm talking as Pastor Steve right now. Do not faint at my tribulations. Some of you know some of the stuff that we've gone through. Don't you dare faint at the things that have happened to me and to this church. Don't you dare. If you faint, if you draw back because of the things that have happened and are happening to our people and to our church, if you draw back at all, the enemy's going to laugh all the way to the bank. But if you dig in there and you say, no, in Jesus' name, my pastor's in bondage, he's in chains, and there's a reason for it, and I'm going to get in there and fight, and this government's not going to take us out, and this region's not going to take us out, and we're not going to allow the lies and the and the fortitude of other people to overcome what we're called here to do. We have a mission, we have a vision, and it doesn't matter what they say about my pastor, it doesn't matter what's going on in our church, it doesn't matter what it looks like, we're going to do what we're called to do, and we're going to have victory.
Amen.
Praise God. That was a good answer right there. I didn't even have to make you do that. Whew! Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. You know, it's to your glory that we're being attacked the way that we are. Why? Why would the enemy attack somebody that's dead, that's not doing nothing anyway? They're not a problem to him. Amen. It's only the ones that are doing the kingdom. It's only the ones that are building the tower that need to be dealt with. All the folks that are watching, go read Nehemiah. I double dog dare you. Go read Nehemiah. They built a wall in enemy territory, and it said that they were literally building with their swords on. To put that in perspective, that'd be like us building a church and everybody in here packing heat. We're going to be building a church, but I'm telling you, if they come, they're going to get something. And it said that they built and they would watch. And they were built in a narrow watch. You know, there's about four players going on in the book of Nehemiah. There's the builders, who are also the warriors. They're builders and warriors at the same time. That's one group. The second group is the watchers. What are they doing? They're building. Oh, those guys are stupid. Why are they building? Those are the criticizers. There's always going to be people watching you do God's stuff, and they're going to be like, well, look at them. And then there were the people that were arguing with them, the naysayers, the ones that were literally on purpose attacking them with words. Come down out of there. What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Why are you building that wall? Who made you the Lord over the wall building, Nehemiah? Go read Nehemiah. There's a whole group of people. And then there's a group of people that weren't even there. They were at home. They were in Babylon. Saying, hey, you know what? We're slaves in the Babylonian system. We're just going to stay here in the Babylonian system and just eat what they feed us, do what we need to do. This is four groups that are in the body of Christ. The ones that are builders are probably usually the warriors too. If you're building, you're probably warring to build. And then there's a bunch of people watching you thinking that you're crazy. Y'all got family members that think you're crazy for doing it. And then there's a bunch of people that are going to get in your face and just straight up criticize you. Well, you're this, and you're that, and you say it this way, and you do this, and you're wrong, and and all you need to do, you know what you need to do? Okay, thanks. Oh, I know. Yeah, thanks for your opinion. Appreciate that. You know what they're going to do in the future? When we get our wall built, when the kingdom is built, you're going to be like, hey, notice you got a nice place to come in and be safe. Can I? Come on in. I don't care that you just criticized me for the last 5 years. This house belongs to anybody. They didn't build this for me. It built it for him. We're going to, listen to me, we are going to let the criticizers into Beloved Church in the future. They're going to come and they're going to see what we built. And they're going to want to be a part of it. So be ready. Be gracious. Be loving. Be forgiving. Of whom the whole family... Oh, I'm sorry. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause. For what cause? Because I want the church to display the manifold wisdom of God. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom this whole family, beloved church in heaven, is named and in earth is named. You're named in heaven and you're named in earth. That He, our Father, Jesus Christ, would grant unto beloved church according to the riches of His glory, the Father's glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in beloved church's heart by faith. That beloved church being rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and that they know, they experience the love of God which passes just head knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that beloved church can ask or think according to the power that works in beloved church, that's showing the manifold wisdom of God, unto Him be glory in the church, in beloved church, by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The birth of beloved came to this end, that we're here to produce an erector set. So let me take you into another place in my life. So as I was birthing Beloved Church, I started looking through these scriptures and I started seeing this church. This is a beautiful church. The church that's displaying the manifold wisdom of God. The church that holds the grace of God, that's releasing it. The church that's building, that's not just naysayers watching other people build and criticizing for building. This is a beautiful church. This is an amazing church. This gave us a beautiful picture of what church is really supposed to be. And I got to say, there's not a lot of this kind of church that's out there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I, Pastor Steve, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I saw a new church. I saw a new kind of church. I saw a church that was built on the goodness and the grace of God, that wanted to display the manifold wisdom of God, that wanted to be gracious and loving, that wanted to understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God, that they wanted to have the power of God working in them and through them. I saw a new church, and there was no more sea. Go look at Habakkuk. I think it's 2:14. Habakkuk 2:14 says that there is a that the glory of God, that the yada of the glory of God, the knowledge, the intimate understanding of the glory of God, shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. You know why there's no more sea in Revelation chapter 21? Because the glory of God literally pushed the seas out. This is so powerful. The glory of God has covered the whole earth when the church becomes this beautiful picture of what the church is supposed to be. God prophesied this in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. God Himself said that my glory shall fill the whole earth. The whole earth shall be filled with my glory. How's He going to get it? By the manifold wisdom being displayed by the church. The church is going to fill the whole earth with the glory of God. That's you. That's you! That's you! Every one of you! You are the carriers of the glory of God. And we are going to literally outdo the seas by the power and the amount of the glory of God that's going to be on this earth. And I, Pastor Steve, saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no more sea. And I, Steve Castle, pastor, saw the holy city, you, the bride, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I saw you. I saw this church. It was in my heart. I seen it in the scriptures. There are more, you guys are more real to me in here than you are here. I seen this church. This is what she looks like. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold! There's a great voice that's proclaiming over you. Behold, the tabernacle of God, the bride of God, the new Jerusalem of God. There's a voice that's shouting your praise out of heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I saw this church. Not a weak crying church. Not a wussy sissy church that couldn't figure out how to preach the gospel in a wet paper bag, but I saw a church that had all their tears wiped away, that had their healing manifest, that had their scars and their bruises and their pains dealt with by the power and the goodness of God. A brand new church, a new Jerusalem, a bride that's clean and white. And there shall be no more death. I saw a church that was victorious over death, that they weren't scared of death, that they weren't fearful of death, that they weren't affected by death, but they were raising the dead because they were that church. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. I saw a church that was overcoming pain, and that for the former things were passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Is this us? That's a direct quote out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, all things are new. That's you. That's this church. This is the church that's supposed to be filling the whole earth with the glory of God. And I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, write, for these things are true and faithful. God said, these things are true and faithful. This is for real. He's not playing around. This isn't some cool prophetic vision. This isn't something that may or may not happen. These are true and faithful words. We just sang about our God being faithful. Do you believe it? Well, then we're this church. Then we're this church. And he said unto me, it is done. Where else was that said? So is this correlating with that or not? This is done. Man, dry your eyes, beloved. No more fear of death, beloved. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more misery. We're not that church. Amen. It is done. It's done. It's gone. It's done. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So he was the beginning of who you are, and he's the end of who you are. And what he's saying here is we're getting to the end. We're getting to the end of what I'm trying to do in your life. The beginning and the end, I will give unto him that a thirst of the fountain of the water of life for a charge. You gotta earn it. You gotta tithe to get it. You gotta pray extra hard. Do 14 spiritual backflips. No! The water of life flows freely from and through and in you. You get to dip and drink anytime you want. It's coming out of you. Praise God. He that overcomes. These are promises to the ones that overcome. Not the promises to the ones that are taken out while God's doing something, but he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The word for son there is not the word son as in a male child. It's not the only way that's used. It's talking about son as in firstborn heir. You are the firstborn heir of God. You are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Joint heirs with Christ. That's who you are. This is separated for you. You're joint heirs with Christ. So God gave me this beautiful picture. This wonderful picture of the church. Do you see how beautiful that is? Look at verse 23. Same chapter, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine on it for the glory of God. Because there's no more sea. The glory of God has filled this whole church. And for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Man, we just got done preaching a whole series on Jesus Christ, the genuine Jesus. Man, praise God. I am so honored that some of the things that we're criticized about is preaching Jesus. Man, praise God. I don't know what other folks preach, but we're preaching Jesus. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring the glory and honor it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. There shall be no night in this church. Are y'all following this? There's no night. You remember what it says in the Psalms? That there's pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. What happens if there's no night? Oh man, this is powerful. This is who we are, beloved. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations unto it. They shall bring, you know that God's raising you all to do this? God's raising you all up to literally impact a nation. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to repent. God doesn't do little things. Well, God just put me in little old Kent. God just put me in little old PC. I'm just in little old place. Yeah, I know. David was in little old Bethlehem. Amen? Jesus was in little old Nazareth. Little old people, little old places, they just go ahead and change the world. I don't know. What do you want to do? Do you want to believe God's opinion? Or do you want to stay with your little old thinking? And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Do you hear his language? No way. Absolutely not. Not allowed. Not coming in here. Nothing that is this is coming in. Nothing that works abominations or nothing that is a lie. No lies at Beloved Church. Transparency. Real people being real with each other. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know you're written in there? God wrote you in there. So God was painting this beautiful picture of what this church is supposed to look like. And I have this belief system that there's this church in a box. Okay, now I know I've preached about things being in a box, but I want you to erase that for a second. I've seen this beautiful picture. Go ahead and put up that first picture, Jess. I've seen this beautiful picture of the church, the beautiful church, the amazing, the glory of God. And I've seen, when I was a kid, my grandma had basically two games at her house. We went over to grandma's house, one for chocolate chip cookies, because I've never had chocolate chip cookies the way my grandma's made them, ever. And my mom has the recipe, supposedly. And I've never had chocolate chip cookies like my grandma. The other thing that she had that we did over there that we looked forward to was Tinker Toys. But Tinker Toys get old because they basically turn them into hammers. If you know what I'm talking about, they get the little round thing with the holes in it, and you stick it on a stick, and you just walk around bopping each other in the head, and that gets old after a while. And the best thing that she had was an Erector set. Now, for those of you that don't know what an Erector set is a bunch of little metal pieces and a bunch of screws and a bunch of nuts, and it gives you a motor. And you're supposed to build, with this Erector set, you're supposed to build these beautiful things. You can make robots, you can make drawbridges, you can make rocket launchers, you can make all this stuff. If you put it together right, you can make all this beautiful stuff. And so this is what I thought about when I seen these beautiful pictures of the church. This is like, the church, we can make these beautiful things. We've got people that are screws. We got people that are nuts. We've got more nuts sometimes than screws in the box. You know how God does that. But here's the problem. On the box, on the package, there's some assembly required. Three of the most demonic words that's ever come on anything that's ever been purchased in earth. Some assembly required. And here's the other thing, too. We're living stones. You know what living stones do? Move. Move around. Hey, you should go in here. No, I don't want to. Well, you'll fit right here. No, I don't want to fit there. Hold still so I can screw you in. No, I don't want to be screwed. Hey, if y'all are thinking bad, that's your thinking. For real. An Erector set, screws and nuts. Well, hold still. We'll put a nut on you. No, I don't want to be a nut. You already are a nut. Never mind. Take it back. This is how there's this beautiful picture on this box of what you're going to buy. So put up the next picture, please, Jess. And so on the box, it would show you what that box was going on with that box. And so in this particular Erector set, this was a rocket launcher. And see, you can see here that you got a screwdriver to help with screws, and you got a wrench to help with the nuts. God has put tools in the church. An apostle and a prophet and an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher that's supposed to come to the screws and make the screws act right, and supposed to come to the nuts and put the screws and the nuts together, and then they hold things together. God even has a plan for the screws and the nuts. Amen. And you can see wheels in there, but here's one of the things. There's this motor over in the right-hand bottom corner. That's that big blue thing. That's a motor. You can plug that sucker in, and it'll do stuff. If you connect everything together, it will do exactly what the picture is. So if you're like me, which most of the guys in the room, you probably are, you see the picture, and you see the pieces, and howdy, it's time to get at it. So you get all these, dump the whole thing out, you got everything all laid out, you look at the picture, you look at the stuff, you look at the picture, you look at the stuff, say, okay, I'm going to build it. And so you start putting stuff together and screwing things down, and then you got to take it back apart because you did it wrong, and then you put it back together, then you take it back, and then you get everything together, and you hook the motor up to it, and nothing works, and it tries to burn the motor up, and then you unhook everything, then you tear it back down, and you try to put it back together, and then there's this whole, then you have this revelation, the great mystery of the Erector set comes into clarification for you. And the great mystery of the Erector set is you need instructions! And so, they come with the next picture, which is an instruction book. It comes with a book to put the thing together. So God wants to build this beautiful church. He wants to build this glorious church that's going to let the nations know, and it's going to fill the whole earth with the glory of God. That's going to have love, all kinds of love, the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. And it's supposed to have the power of God working through it. And so then a great pastor like me comes in here, and he gets this mission about what Beloved Church is going to be. And Beloved Church is birthed in his heart and through this revelation. And so he comes flying into Pearl City in his red ark, and his Tundra, and he lands, and he gets in here. He's like, okay, we're going to build the church. I got the beautiful picture, and I got all the screws and the nuts, and I got the beautiful picture, and I got the screws and the nuts, and I got a screwdriver, and I got a wrench. Let's do it. And about 4 years in, I'm like, well, this don't quite look what. I mean, I have had to take it apart 4 times. I almost burn out the motor. And God comes along and says, let's do it this way. So we're going to do it this way. We're going to be Beloved Church this way. God's got a plan on how to do it this way. Amen. Praise God. This is really powerful. So we are an assembly. Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all stay with me. Don't clock out. This is really good. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise God. I would make you confess this, that I'm an erector set, but I don't want you to have to go through that. So we'll do some other confessions later. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them. Them who? Y'all. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, one of the first things you got to do with the erector set, you got to make sure none of the parts are broke. If they're broke, it doesn't matter. It ain't never going to work. So God's going to go ahead and release you of all brokenness. Sin is missing the mark. So God is going to give us all brand new pieces to build Beloved Church. No scars, no sins, no issues, no pains, no miseries. He's going to give us all brand new life. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now there, where there is remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, amen, say boldness, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way. He said we're going to do this in a new and living way. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, say full assurance, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Say, I no longer have an evil conscience. And our bodies are washed with pure water. The power of God is available for your body. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Say, he is faithful. And so are his promises. And let us consider one another and provoke one another unto love. You better start provoking your neighbor. You better start provoking your neighbor to love. You start provoking your neighbor. You start provoking your husbands. You start provoking your wife. You start provoking your kids. You start provoking your parents. You start provoking. You need to be the best provoking church that there ever has been. Start provoking people to love and to good works. You provoke me. I dare you. Come and get me. Provoke me to love and good works. Make me get provoked. Praise God. For not forsaken the assembling, the what? The flash mobbing? The random getting together? We all whole showed up at the same time, same place, same building. Well, let's just do a little church since we're here. No, the assembling. The by the manual. You know, God believes in assembling things. Thank God he didn't make the earth and then, you know, on day like 5, he decided to make like gravity. For real, right? Because then church trees were floating around out in the stratosphere. They make gravity. Amen. God assembled. God assembles the church. Amen. What this means is you have to let God assemble you. You have to let God put you where you belong. Amen. Well, I feel like being an arm. Well, you're a foot. Well, I feel like an arm. Well, we really don't want to make a monster, and you need to be assembled. So, can you be a foot? I don't want to be a foot. Be a foot. Just be a foot. We need a foot. You know, how beautiful are the feet? Oh, I get to be beautiful? Yeah, you get to be beautiful. Okay, well, I'll be beautiful. Okay, be a beautiful foot. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news? Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some what? Some Christians. Is this shocking? This is in the Bible. You know people didn't go to church in the Bible? Not forsaking ourselves. Why? Do you see the end of this? But exhorting one another. You know why you need to go to church? You're not going to get exhorted at home watching Phil Donahue. Is he still on TV? Watching whatever. You're not going to get exhorted by Phil. Doctor, I'm sorry. You're not going to get exhorted by Dr. Phil. You might feel a little better. Oh, well, now I see why I'm such a broken person. Oh, thank you, Dr. Phil, for helping me. No, you're just going to be more broke. There's churches that do this, by the way. You come in broken, and they teach you how to be a little bit less than broken, and then you think something happened. God doesn't let you come into the church and be a little less broken. God takes the broken, kills it, and then gives you a whole brand new unbroken thing that can't be broken. That's how God rolls. God's not in the business of just repairing the old. God's in the business of burning the old, dunking it in the water of baptism of death, and bringing out a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the business that God's in. Why do we need to be really purposeful about this? Because as the day approaches, you're going to be drawn away. As you get to the end of it, you know, have you ever done a big project together? This is so revelatory. And I know I need to be done with stuff, but this is so relevant. You start something new. Start a new church, or start a new discipleship class, or start a new women's fellowship or whatever. You will get 90% participation. And when you get to the end, you'll have about 10 people left. Say, what happened? We started with 57. We got 7 because the new wore off. It's not new no more. Now it's not cool and hip, right? Now it's just we're just doing stuff. We're just in the trenches. We're digging. We're plowing. We're going. You know, it's really fun to learn a new job. Hey, the boss is going to teach me this new thing. Hey, yeah, and then I'm going to do it for 30 years. Wait, no. You can teach me a new thing every week. Hey, I got news for you. We will never have people that are really good at anything in the church if you need to have something new every 6 months. Amen? Until we get, like, at Beloved Church, we're going to preach grace until we're all completely good with grace. And I don't know how many generations that's going to take, but we're going to do it. We're going to preach healing until every man, woman, and child in Beloved Church is 100% walking in divine health 100% of the time, 100% of the reasons, all day long, every day, no matter what. We're going to preach healing until it's all there. Because as the day approaches, people are going to be like, well, I guess I just won't stand for healing no more because it hasn't manifested yet. Don't you give up. Don't you get weary in well-doing. We're going to keep plowing, and we're going to keep plowing, and God's promises are sure, and He is faithful, and He is the yes and the amen. Amen? Some assembly required. Too many nuts. We got the owner's manual. There's tools required. Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. Tell us what these tools are. Ephesians 4, fivefold ministry. Romans chapter 12, there are 9 other gifts that are given to the church, to the church, to the church. If you don't fit in the 5, you probably fit in the 9. Go find out if you might be one of the 9. The picture on the box is what it looks like. Here's the box. This is what it's supposed to look like. Until it looks like this, we're going to keep putting pieces together. We might have to take a piece off and put it back on the right way. Maybe we got it backwards. We're going to keep doing it. I did it backwards as Beloved Church, as the pastor of Beloved Church. I did it wrong for a while. I'm repentant. I'm sorry. We're going to get on track. We're going to keep building. It's going to be beautiful. There's fun in the assembly. I never one time sat down with that erector set and said, I got to put stuff together. I don't want to play with the erector set. Vaughn, do I have to play? Shut up and play with the erector set. No. And we shouldn't go to church that way. Oh, I don't want to go and be assembled. You better go. This is going to be great. When this thing gets together, we're going to have a robot or a rocket launcher. Who doesn't want a rocket launcher? What is wrong with you people? Let's put it together till we get a rocket launcher. We'll launch rockets at the devil. Won't that be fun? Watch him blow up. And then he can't die. So we can just keep launching rockets at him and just like, this is awesome. This is what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be enjoying the erecting. Amen. Amen. Fun in the assembly. And the closer we get to completing, the more important it is to allow ourselves to be assembled. As the day approaches, we need to continue to be assembled. And I got a bunch more verses, but I know we're done. We're building the house of grace. We're building the house of grace. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us doing what we're called to do. You need to, if you're an electrician, be an electrician. If you're a carpenter, be a carpenter. If you're a roofer, be a roofer. If you're, you know, if you're a finish worker, be a finish worker. I mean, some of you gals are some of the best finish workers in the business. Praise God. We need that. But everybody needs to be building. Amen. Are you committed to building? Amen. Amen. We're going to build together. Amen. It's going to take all of us. Amen. You're included. Maybe you're a screwdriver. Maybe you're a nut. But we need the nuts. Maybe not all the nuts. There might be some extras, but we're going to need all the nuts. Amen? Amen. Father, right now I command a blessing on these folks. I command a blessing on those that are determined to be the builders, that are going to build this beautiful, glorious church that is going to show the manifold wisdom of God. I believe that these folks that are committed to this, these ones that are committed to building what you want us to build, that they understand that this is going to take all of their diligence, all of their discipline, all of their faithfulness. That this means that sometimes they're going to have to do things that are contrary to their feelings, but they're going to be provoked unto love and good work by somebody next to them. Nope, we need to do this. We need to build this. And I thank you, Father, that your Spirit is active, that your grace is active in our lives, bringing all these things together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you my life verse. This is Acts 20:24. This is my life verse. But none of these things move me. Nothing's meant more to me in the last few months than this verse. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify to the good news of the grace of God. In the New Testament, in the Living Translation, it says, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of telling of God's wonderful kindness and grace. This is the mission. This is what we're going to do. And you all need to be on with us. Amen. Amen. All right, go in peace. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray. If you need help with anything, we want to help. If you need to be provoked, come get you some provoking in Jesus' name.